And moving on to the first of my of the cases that I had planned to talk about, Perry versus H.J. Heinz Company Brands. I picked this because it's an interesting case in the sense that it involves intellectual property issues. And we don't get a lot of those here in the Fifth Circuit. Obviously, most of them are sent to the Federal Circuit. And the IP type issues we get are usually state law trade secrets. But this is a Lanham Act case. It's a trademark case. But I also picked it because the facts are pretty amusing and it's worth reading if you have a little bit of time. So Mr. Perry is a person in Louisiana. He decided to make a ketchup mayonnaise concoction, which he called Mechup. And he did that by driving to Walmart and buying giant tubs of mayonnaise and ketchup and mixing them in the conference room of a Louisiana motel. And then he would drive around to restaurants. And you can see the Mechup in the middle there, by the way. That's Mr. Perry's Mechup. So he would drive around to restaurants and try to sell his condiment. At the same time, Heinz, the ketchup sort of, you know, giant, was also trying to make a mayonnaise ketchup mixture. And they had a Twitter contest to see what it should be called. And some of the people came up with Mechup, the exact same name that Mr. Perry had named his sauce. But other people came up with Mayo Chup, which is what Heinz ended up calling the product. And you can see that over on your screen over here. So Mr. Perry saw all this and he sued Heinz, saying that they were confusing customers about his trademark, which is Mechup. The Fifth Circuit affirmed the dismissal of Mr. Perry's claim. They said that because Mr. Perry had sold literally only 60 bottles of Mechup, I don't mean cases or six packs or something like that. He had sold 60 bottles of his sauce total. His mark wasn't strong enough to possibly underlie a confusion or, you know, a false representation claim under the Lanham Act, though they did revive a small part of his claim. And I haven't quite checked what happened with the rest of it. I would assume that eventually it was, something was agreed to. But so Mr. Perry lost. It's an interesting case to read for some Lanham Act principles, and you can cite it for those kind of cases here in the Fifth Circuit. Moving on to our next case, PNC Bank National Association versus Ruiz. This is a really important case, and it's come up in my own practice, and I think it may come up in yours. So as I'm sure a lot of you know, at the beginning of a federal district court case, you get a chance to consent to a magistrate judge's jurisdiction for all purposes. So in other words, the magistrate judge will decide all dispositive motions, have the trial, and all the rest of it. But most people decline to consent to the magistrate judge's jurisdiction for whatever reason. They want the district judge. And that is what the defendant in this case did. They filed a notice saying that we do not consent to the magistrate judge's jurisdiction. But, and here's the interesting part, they didn't do anything about it. And the magistrate judge proceeded as if consent had been given. So the question presented in this case is whether you can waive your right to a district judge by litigation conduct. It's a little bit like waivers of arbitration clauses by litigation conduct. The Fifth Circuit says in most cases, you cannot waive your right to a district judge simply by proceeding in front of the magistrate judge. And the Fifth Circuit says in this case, that's especially true where you have unambiguously refused to consent at one time to the magistrate judge, even if you later end up proceeding. If you file the document that says we don't consent, the Fifth Circuit is going to let you get back to your district judge. And again, it's a little bit like arbitration because the district judge right is so powerful, like it's very important that you have a right to a trial in front of a district judge. That's just like how it's very important to that you don't lose your arbitration rights. And so the courts are going to put their finger on the scale in favor of non-waiver in general. Of course, there are exceptions to all rules. Our next case, again, this is something that's come up in my practice. And while it's not the biggest case of the year, I think it's very important for all of us. Campbell versus Wilkinson. This concerns the Northern District of Texas's rule, a local rule, federal local rule, that you must have local counsel in order to litigate a case in the Northern District of Texas. And by local counsel, they don't mean a lawyer who's admitted to the Northern District of Texas. They mean a lawyer who lives in the Northern District. So what happens if you don't comply with that rule and you refuse to comply with that rule after the judge warns you? Can the judge issue a death penalty sanction and dismiss your case with prejudice for failure to follow the local counsel rule? Campbell versus Wilkinson says you cannot, that a district judge who dismisses the case with prejudice in most circumstances will be reversed for an abuse of discretion.